I'm Dr. Anthony Bolus, and welcome to Healthy Dose. Today, we will continue on the second and final part of the Pharmacy in Peril, What's Really Happening Behind the Counter series, as now we will learn from a frontline pharmacist how these fees and reimbursement models from drug insurance companies, in particular the pharmacy benefit managers, otherwise known as PBMs, are causing pharmacy services to suffer, and overall, your safety as the patient is at risk.
And so I do think that's going to affect staffing levels and the ability to safely care for patients. I think that's the big concern I have, not just for independent pharmacy, but for our profession as a whole, our on the retail side, that these fees and this DIR hangover is going to tie up a lot of cash and impact our ability to have the cash to pay payroll to take care of patients safely and effectively.
Today, we bring back Dr. Patrick Devereaux, Pharmacy Manager and Company President of Family Medical Services Incorporated, which is comprised of four independent pharmacies in Central Alabama, as he gives us an unfortunate update how the current payment structure from PBMs, mostly related to the DIR fees, are doing since the last time he spoke with us in 2020. These fees have only gotten worse and continue to rob pharmacies of services and rob patients of appropriate care. More to come on today's edition of Healthy Dose.
This is Healthy Dose, brought to you by Samford University's McWhorter School of Pharmacy in Birmingham, Alabama, preparing pharmacists to transform lives. More on the web at samford.edu/pharmacy.
Welcome back to Healthy Dose. I'm Dr. Anthony Bolus. Last week on Healthy Dose, we had our part one episode of the two-part series of Pharmacy in Peril, What's Really Happening Behind the Counter with Dr. Michael Hoag, Chief Executive Officer and Executive Vice President of the American Pharmacists Association, as he gave a national perspective on the unfortunate backward business of PBMs causing harm to community pharmacy practice as of 2023. To listen to part number one, please be sure to visit healthydose.org. This week, we continue on with a frontline perspective on these payment structures as we bring in a familiar voice who you may remember from 2020, Dr. Patrick Devereaux, Pharmacy Manager and Company President of Family Medical Services Incorporated, which is comprised of four independent pharmacies in Central Alabama, when he first warned everyone about the dangers of drug insurance, in particular PBM malpractice, happening at that time, and what it could lead to if left unregulated. Well, here we are, 3 years later, and unfortunately, not any better. In fact, worse, with fees continuing to skyrocket and never slowed, even during the pandemic. Dr. Devereaux first brings everybody back to square one to remind what these fees are and exactly how much the four stores he oversees is having to pay back to the Medicare drug insurance plans.
It's a topic that I, as well as all community pharmacists, are very passionate about because it does directly impact our ability to care for patients. Real briefly, just as a recap, DIR fees are basically a fee that's assessed from a Medicare plan per prescription to the pharmacy directly, and that money is paid back directly to the plan. There's a lot of different measures that those plans use in terms of assessing the capacity or the ability or the amount of DIR fees, and most of those are not based on the pharmacy's performance, but also on the performance of the network of pharmacies that pharmacy is a part of. But real briefly, those fees are substantial. Our company is currently paying over $1 million annually. We own four stores. So $1 million annually going back to the plans in the form of DIR fees on some of the most expensive drugs that we have to pay for, dispense, counsel the patient on, and then pay a percentage of that back to the Medicare plans.
Dr. Devereaux illustrates how PBM's payment structure is a smoke and mirror scheme back to Medicare to make things look good at the front end, but in reality, making pharmacies lose more revenue on the back end with these fees, as transparency is nowhere to be found.
I think they're still as high as ever, actually higher than ever. A lot of gray area and opaqueness related to how those fees are assessed. I'll give you a concrete example. One of our plans, I won't mention which one it is, since October 1st, so the last quarter of this year, the reimbursement on the drugs have gone up substantially, and I do mean substantially, per prescription. And we noticed this trend last year in 2022 as well. But all of that was basically just, for lack of a better term, a scheme to recoup more DIR fees. And there's really no rhyme or reason or specific percentage or measurement from these plans. But when I looked at the DIR fees for this particular plan from October through December of 2022, and we're seeing it through October through now 2023, the fee, not only were the fees substantial, but the reimbursement, the actual percentage of what we kept from those reimbursements was very, very small. So it's kind of a smoke and mirrors kind of thing is what it's evolved into, Anthony, where there's not really a clear cut, hey, we're going to take this percentage based on this measurement. It's kind of at the end of the year, it's this kind of almost like a free-for-all where all of a sudden our reimbursements look really good for this particular plan, only to lose a significant percentage of that back to the plan for a DIR fee. So in other words, it looks like the plan is saying, look at what we're doing for the pharmacy, look at these reimbursements, only to be taking it back later on after the fact in the form of DIR fees. So while it looks like the reimbursement is fair, it is just a excuse for them to claw that money back. That's been a trend over the last couple of years since we last spoke, is seeing a lot of unclarity, if that's even a word, on how these fees are assessed.
So again, just to remind everyone at home, the current payment structure that has been in effect over the past 10 years is that a pharmacy dispenses a medication and is paid a certain amount by the PBM at the time the medication is given to the patient, to then 3 to 6 months later require the pharmacy to pay retroactively back to the plan a certain percentage of the drug, either due to patient adherence rate or other factors unknown. Starting in 2024, legislation was passed to stop the retroactive fees, and the fees will now hit all at once at the time the medication is given to the patient. But unfortunately, the retroactive payment structure of 2023 won't officially end till July of 2024, causing pharmacies to be double-dipped on fees during this time period that will be known as the DIR hangover, as Dr. Devereaux describes the good and the bad to come in pharmacy practice for 2024.
I want to commend our national organizations, NCPA, APHA, for really fighting for this for years, to be able to have the DIR fee assessed at the point of sale. Now, that's not a great thing, but it does bring a little bit of clarity. And the one good thing I do see here is that it's going to be a little bit more clear at the point of sale. What I mean by the point of sale is, as we're filling the prescription, what is the DIR fee impact? And the DIR fee will be assessed at the point of sale instead of months later. So currently, and up until this point, we would fill the prescription, and then usually, 2 to 3 months later, we would be assessed the DIR fee on those prescriptions, and it would be taken out of a check that we were being issued from that insurance company. But now, thanks to legislation championed by NCPA and APHA, the DIR fee is going to be assessed at the point of sale. So DIR fees are not going away. I want to make that really clear. I think a lot of people are like, well, the DIR fees are gone in 2024. No, they're just being assessed at the point of sale. And there are some things that are going to factor into the net cost or net reimbursement of the drug and things like that. But essentially, the net impact to the pharmacy should be the same. It's going to be just at the point of sale instead of having to pay back money months later. Now, that's the good news, is that I do think that it's going to be a little bit easier from an accounting standpoint to manage our prescription profitability at the point of sale and understand what the impact of the DIR fee is. That was a big priority in this legislation. However, one thing that is a unfortunate effect of this is that this is going to be starting in January. So all of us are going to be watching our reimbursements very closely. However, the DIR fees for 2023, which were not assessed at the point of sale, will be assessed on these already low margin prescriptions that are going to happen starting in January of 2024. So in other words, we're going to be paying DIR fees from the last half to last quarter of 2023 into the first half of 2024, likely, because they're not just going to waive those fees. They're still there. We have to pay those because of our contracts with them in 2024. So what that's causing, and this has been termed the DIR hangover, because right now, or what's going to happen in 2024, just like I said, is those fees are going to be assessed, but our profit margins on those prescriptions that we're dispensing in 2024 already have the DIR fees taken out. So it's going to be very, very low, but somehow pharmacies have to come up with the cash to pay the DIR fees from 2023. So we're calling it the DIR fee hangover. That's the part that is problematic. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think if you're a community pharmacy and you can make it through this part of 2024, where the fees are being assessed and our margins on the prescriptions have plummeted, then you're going to be okay. But many pharmacies, us included, had to make some decisions in the last year to prepare for this. We did know this was coming, and we've had to preserve savings and cash, and many pharmacies are pursuing lines of credit and things like that to help weather this storm. And once we make it through this, it's going to be a little bit different. But for now, the big fear right now is that there's going to be pharmacies going out of business because they didn't adequately prepare for the amount of cash they needed to pay the 2023 DIR fees during the 2024 period. And I've been focusing on independent pharmacy here, Anthony. I do want to make sure I'm very clear that this is an industry-wide issue. Chain pharmacies are going to be dealing with the same thing. They have to have cash reserves as well to pay these DIR fees back. And then these margins that are going to be coming in 2024 are going to be very, very low profitability-wise. And so I do think that's going to affect staffing levels and the ability to safely care for patients. And I think that's the big concern I have, not just for independent pharmacy, but for our profession as a whole, our on the retail side, that these fees and this DIR hangover is going to tie up a lot of cash and impact our ability to have the cash to pay payroll to take care of patients safely and effectively.
We are about halfway through, and we've got much more to come on Healthy Dose, as Dr. Devereaux will go into more details on how the fees has affected him personally over the years, and he declares which PBMs are the most problematic, along with what legislation could do to help ease the burden in pharmacy today. We'll be back right after this.
The community pharmacy safety problem that we keep hearing about in podcasts or in the news or in different articles isn't about the workforce difficulties of the pharmacist going from the big bottle to the little bottle. It's all about the safety of getting the right drug to the right patient for the right reason with the right dose. And that's why we use Choose My Pharmacy. It's a way to evaluate the safety of community pharmacies in a transparent and agnostic manner to make sure that the right dose is getting to the right person. You can learn more at choosemypharmacy.com.
The stress of pharmacy practice has been seen personally and collectively throughout the nation, as even you as the patient have also probably seen longer wait times or perhaps some mistakes, or perhaps your pharmacy is already closed. As we see that the practice needs more help, but financially can't afford it just yet, due in large part to these fees, as Dr. Devereaux explains how these fees has affected him over the years.
I think one thing we have to talk about is the word profitability. And I think sometimes that word has a negative connotation to it. And I want to differentiate between, you know, net profit and gross profit. Right now, the biggest challenge I'm dealing with day to day, and the biggest challenge that many in my industry and the chain side are dealing with, is gross profit. And that's just profit that's generated from the prescriptions that are used to pay operating expenses for the store. And when you're operating at a level below what the your minimum, what we'll call cost of dispensing is, you have to make decisions that do impact your ability to adequately care for patients. So let me give you an example. You know, from a volume perspective, I mean, Anthony, we've talked about this in our company. You've seen our statistics as far as our phone calls go, okay? Yeah, the phone calls that come into the pharmacy are substantial. And if you're trying to do all of these things, if you looked at just from a workflow perspective in our stores, like, God, phone's ringing and this person's having to do this and counsel patients and we're at the drive-through or at the phone, you know, all these things happening. You would look at our staffs and be like, God, we really need to have more people. You know, we don't have enough people to keep up with this level of workload. And that's the same in the chain world too. You know, you've been in the chain world where you've heard the intercom saying pharmacy call, drive-through, this, and you've got two people or three people running around like crazy trying to take care of everybody as best they can. And so how it's affected us is the same way I believe it's affected everybody else, which is you've got to control some of your highest expenses. And unfortunately, your highest expense in a business from what you're using your gross profit to pay for is payroll. And we try to find the balance, and I think we have one where, you know, we are balancing the needs of the patients with the level of staff we have. But from a workload and workflow perspective, if you looked at what we do at the number of staff that we employ, it's pretty amazing. But you know, we really do need more people and we need more help. And I think that's echoed across the profession right now, where it's like, you know, they're understaffed. Well, we're understaffed because of this ability to adequately staff, related to the fact that pharmacy benefit manager reimbursements and these DIR fees are directly contributing to the ability for business leaders in both the chain and the independent world to adequately staff the pharmacies. They have overhead, they have net profit targets they have to hit, you know, for shareholders. On the independent side, you know, you have a lot of independent owners who have taken out money and have started these businesses with a lot of sweat and blood and tears. And they deserve a return on investment, even if it's a small one. But right now, the ability to just hit the break-even point, the cost of dispensing to operate the store effectively, is tougher and tougher with these DIR fees. So it affects us in our decision-making, our hiring decision-making, and other operating procedures and expenses decision-making. You know, we just have to look at what is our profitability per prescription with the DIR fee factored in, and how can we operate the business, you know, if we can, which we can right now, but how can we operate the business at that number and provide adequate patient care and not compromise?
Legislation has become big in states and in D.C. to fight PBM reform, and there's no time like the present to try and contact your representative now to help push better PBM regulation to protect your pharmacy from closing, as Dr. Devereaux showcases how things could get better in practice as more of this is showcased to those who can make the right decisions.
Behind the scenes, I will say that our national organizations are doing absolutely everything they can to get the right information in front of the right decision makers in Washington. I'm going to be honest. I think that the net impact of these DIRs being assessed at the point of sale is going to take a little bit more of this opaqueness out of the drug pricing side. So let me elaborate a little bit further on that. Right now, you know, a pharmacy benefit manager or Medicare plan could point to what a pharmacy is being paid for the services without, you know, focusing on what CMS is being billed for those services from the plan, and say, look, they're making money. They're able to adequately provide for patients. We're providing them enough of a cushion in terms of their gross profit to be able to operate their business. But they're not showing the fact that on the back end of that, the DIR fee is being taken from that pharmacy and is impacting our ability to do this. So to answer your question, Anthony, one of the positive things I see from this is in our national organizations and organizations that engage with lawmakers and folks like Antonio and 46 Brooklyn, Antonio Chacha in Ohio, I want to give them a shout out, are really shining the light on opaque PBM practices. So one of the positive things I do see from this is a little bit less of the opaqueness to say, look at what we're being paid at the point of sale. Is a $9 profit margin on a $1,100 drug, is that enough to operate a pharmacy? And we're not talking about, you know, generating enough money so the pharmacist can buy four boats here. We're not talking about that. But can we adequately staff for what technicians are being paid nowadays, what pharmacists are being paid nowadays, and they should be? You know, are we generating enough from these things? I think it's going to bring a lot of clarity to the opaqueness of drug pricing, because right now it looks like we're making money before you take the DIR fees out. So if it's being assessed there, I do believe that we'll see our policy folks at the national organizations will be able to engage with lawmakers a little bit more effectively with actual concrete data showing what the pharmacies are actually netting out from these prescriptions and how do we operate the business based on that.
As a patient, what is the best thing you can do other than trying to contact your legislators about this? Dr. Devereaux simply asks for your patience and to be as proactive as possible into this year.
Patients, I think just understanding that this is the reason why you have, or one of the reasons, I'll say, that you may walk into a pharmacy and experience what you would consider to be slow service. There's a difference between slow and inefficient. If they're inefficient, that's a different story. But we're talking about, hey, they're doing the best they can with the staff they have, and this is the way that we pay for healthcare services in this country. And so you're just going to have to be as patient as possible. I would say patients, be as proactive about filling your prescriptions as possible, meaning request refills several days before you need them. That will help the pharmacy free up some cash flow by not having to keep expensive medications on the shelf on demand. That's not always possible, but the more you can help your pharmacy do that and plan and just be realistic in terms of expectations, I think long gone are the days where a patient can just walk in with a bottle and stand there until the prescription gets filled. We need a little bit more patience than that and a little bit more flexibility to try to take care of everybody with a lower number of staff. So I think patients can do that. You know, this is the way it's going to look for 2024. So it will take longer to fill your prescription. It will take longer to speak to a pharmacist, but know that by it taking longer and you not rushing them and you not putting demands on them, that is going to increase patient safety. They're going to be able to adequately and accurately take care of you without feeling like they're rushed, that they may be overlooking something from a safety perspective because they feel rushed because they have to do that. So I would say let's reduce the amount of urgency with prescriptions if we can. Try to plan ahead before you run out of medicine so that you can just have a nice, easy pickup when you need to get there.
In today's final word with Dr. Devereaux, he explains that pharmacy practice is struggling today directly related to PBMs like those of Express Scripts, Optum, and Caremark, who created this DIR fee scheme years ago in essence to quote-unquote save healthcare costs. And now we are all seeing the repercussions of it and the need for the top leaders of our states and nation overall to listen and make action to stop the pharmacy revenue bleeding before it's too late.
I will say that we've gotten here by allowing pharmacy benefit managers, Medicare plan sponsors to do these things. And it's been done in the name of keeping drug costs low. There's been two presidents who had the ability to take action on DIR fees, and someone from the industry on the PBM side got in their ear and said, hey, you don't want to be the one that raises drug prices, do you? Which would happen if we eliminated DIR fees. But because of the way that pharmacy benefit managers and plan sponsors operate, the way that they require rebates to be paid to them from the manufacturer and the pharmacy, they are the ones that are complicit in this, that are driving the problems that we're seeing both in chain and independent pharmacy. I'm not saying that there's not some operational decisions that could be made differently on both chain and independent sides inside the companies. But I am saying that a dramatic part of this is directly related to what we have allowed to occur from pharmacy benefit managers. And I'm going to name them specifically: Express Scripts, Optum, Caremark. They are specifically the reason that this has happened. They came up with this DIR scheme. We felt forced, and so did the chains, to sign contracts that included those. Our hands got forced, and they are the reason why this is happening, period.
Be sure to share these messages from part one and part two of our Pharmacy in Peril, What's Really Happening Behind the Counter series with your legislators to try and help lead the change that is needed to create a better and safer environment for employees in pharmacies, and in turn, a safer situation for you as the patient to have increased access to care and improved quality of care that you not just want or deserve, but need in order to help optimize your care and decrease healthcare costs in this manner. For Healthy Dose, I'm Dr. Anthony Bolas. Healthy Dose is not intended to provide specific medical advice. Individuals should confer with their personal health care providers prior to making any changes to their treatment plans, and the opinions and views of those appearing on the show are those of the individuals and not of Sanford or McWhorter School of Pharmacy.